One of the most important roles of the Senate is offering confirmation of judicial nominations. Will the Senate use that or some other form of leverage to try to get the House to pass the Pawsox Stadium proposal?
I don't think this is that type of issue. I think that the Pawsox, because they're here now, looking for a home, I'm hoping that they're able to stay, not only in Rhode Island, but also in Pawtucket, because I think it's a great location that they've looked at. And I don't see that as one of these trade pieces of legislation or anything like that as we go forward. I think this is just a plain, do we want to keep the Pawtucket Red Sox in Rhode Island? I think that is the issue. It's going to be an all-purpose facility. The public can use it on a daily basis, and I think it's a I think it would be a great addition to that area over there, because I think that'll be really substantially help the development around that area for the not only for the Pawtucket Red Sox but also for the people of Pawtucket.
Will it represent a failure of leadership in Rhode Island if the Pawsox wind up leaving the state?
I don't think it would be a good thing if they left the state. I know there is some concern about the state subsidizing and the city subsidizing some of the costs for the stadium, but I think that is a very fair proposal, and I think that the Senate Finance Committee made a number of changes that I feel would be acceptable to the public.
Do you expect the Senate to make any further changes to the Pawsox Stadium bill?
We're taking a look at the bill closely to see if there are any changes that we could possibly make to make it a better piece of legislation. At this point in time, we don't know yet.
Switching gears to the budget, the state faces a roughly $260 million deficit for the current and next fiscal year. Does this show that Rhode Island needs to significantly curtail its level of spending?
I think the problem is it's the structural deficit that we've been seeing over the years. I think we have to address that particular situation. I'm hopeful that the governor, when she introduces her budget, will have addressed part of that situation, and at least we can reduce that structural deficit to some extent.
In 2017, you expressed concern about whether the state could afford the phase-out of the car tax, an idea championed by House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. With the state facing such a large deficit, how do you look at the question of whether the state can afford the car tax phase-out?
I'm still a supporter of the car tax phase-out, but we're going to be looking at every aspect of the budget when that is introduced, to see how we can address that issue. And everything, as we said earlier, is on the table, and we'll make that decision down the road. But I tend to think that everything is on the table, and we have to look at that issue as it affects the budget in totality.
The state operated without a new budget for about a month due to a conflict between the House and the Senate that emerged in June 2017. Is there any lingering tension from that?
I don't see that as being an issue at this point in time. I've had a couple meetings with the Speaker. We both agreed that we want to go forward and work together and work with the governor and to work on behalf of the citizens of Rhode Island. So I don't see that as having a lingering effect at this point in time.
Is there anything that will preclude that kind of budget standoff again in the future?
Well, that's something I would have to sit down and discuss with the Speaker. The leader and I will sit down with Representative Sakachi and the Speaker and see how we can best avoid something like that. We're looking at some proposals as far as conference committees and things like that, similar to what Massachusetts does, but we haven't made a determination at this point in time.
What are your priorities for 2018?
My priorities is hopefully we could address the budget situation. We have to take a look at what's happening down in Washington and how it's going to affect us in the out years as far as revenue. I don't have any particular priority of my own, but I want to sit down with my colleagues and some of the leaders in the Senate and see what they're thinking. So we haven't made that determination yet, but I'm certain a lot of it relies on a lot of the things that happened last year, some of the things that we left on the table, and we'll go forward as the session progresses.
There's been a lot of attention about problems with UHIP, the state's IT system for implementing human service benefits. Do you support the governor in her approach to that? Do you support a different way of trying to address that?
Actually, I'm supporting what the governor is doing at this point in time. I know there are a lot of people that are not state employees that are working on the UHIP situation from Deloitte. Hopefully they can have a resolution for that situation in the very near future. I think they're making progress, but we're not there yet. So I'm hoping that by the time we get back in session, we'll have better news as far as how the administration is progressing with that particular issue.
You've had a very long legislative career going back to the 1980s. Did you have any sense that sexual harassment was a problem at the State House before Representative Teresa Tanzi made her allegations in 2017?
I personally have not witnessed anything that has happened in this building since I've been here. I just think it's an unfortunate situation, some of the things that are happening on a national level, and I just don't see that particular situation happening in the Senate that I can recall. So at this point in time, I really, I will say this, the Senate will not tolerate anything of that nature. We've had the appropriate training for all our employees, and we're going to continue that training with an advanced course, and we're going to invite the legislators in the Senate to sit in on those particular training issues if they so desire. So we're looking to address that situation. I don't see a problem, but I want to make everyone aware of the magnitude of this particular situation going forward.
Do you plan to seek re-election in 2018? And if you win re-election, would it be your intention to seek the Senate presidency again in 2019?
I will be running for re-election this coming year, and I'm hoping that my colleagues would consider me to be the president one more time. I've been honored by their support, and we'll see going forward.
Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you very much for coming here, and wish you a happy new year.